No, I don't want to talk to him. Tap him.
Roxanne, I was, sort of kind of thinking that maybe I'd, ask you to go with me, that is, to the party. Of course, if you don't want to, I'd completely understand.
Well, I was sort of kind of thinking that I'd love to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Great.
Terrific.
Wonderful.
All right.
Okay, come on, Roxanne. We don't want to belabor the moment now, do we?
Well, I better be going.
I'll, call you later.
Okay. Bye. Oh.
Bye. See? That wasn't so bad. I told you men are easy to deal with.
And welcome, 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 welcome to the podcast that puts the plus in Disney Plus. It's Talking the Mickey. My name is Ian.
My name's Ellie.
I'm Ethan.
And I'm Georgia. And it's not me with the lag this week.
Oh my word. That was someone just damn forgot there. I swear, like there was a tumbleweed that went by as that was going on. Which actually, I think Ellie's seen the movie today and going, we need to pad the runtime somehow, because what the hell are we gonna talk about with this week's movie? A goofy movie. Oh. As we come to you live from the heart of Lockdown 3.
Hey.
With all sorts of news that it's only going to get worse from here.
Yay.
Remember that small bit of like individual freedom, and we're taking that away probably. We won't deny rumors that. Yeah. So I mean the world's kind of America's
America, let's just not.
America needs the hard drive defragged. We are
America got hacked. Oh, I love it so much. Have you seen it? All the people that stormed the Capitol have been put on a no-fly list. It's so good. Because they managed to hack the website that they... Some hackers hacked the website that they used to organize it. And because they didn't have very good security on it. And so they got in, made themselves administrators, and then found out who'd been at the Capitol and what they were blood hands were and their driving licenses. So they've all been put on a no-fly list.
That website, Parler, you need to put your social security number in to sign up. So you're completely free to get...
Yeah, there's the ultimate paper trail there.
I'd just like to point out that no one should really be flying anywhere at the moment.
Yeah, we should all be on a no-fly list right now, unless absolutely emergency. But you have not tuned in here for our political ramblings. You have tuned in here for some solid Disney content, or at the very least, some Disney content.
And that's what we're here to provide. We don't have that either. We don't have some solid Disney content.
Well, we have Disney content. Not this week. I'd argue that the movie didn't give us solid Disney content. I will say
I'm
still
about to be part of a bully circle, aren't I?
I will say that
yes.
I will
yes.
say that it is still our mandate to try and make this solid Disney content. So here we go. Just the usual thank yous, whether it's episode one or episode, I have no idea on this one. 53?
I think.
Sure. 53 sounds 50 was a crossover, so I know that much.
It's 53.
53. Well done, Ethan. And so just some chart news. We are charting in Switzerland. We are charting top 50 in Japan. We are 22nd in Malaysia.
I like 22.
And you do like 22. And we are, unlucky for some, but we'll take it, number 13 in Brazil.
Hey.
So definitely thank you to anybody out there. Oh, and we're charting here in Great Britain, so that's always good.
Excellent.
Too. So it's a nice all around the world kind of vibe. Very actually, we hit a lot of continents there.
Yeah,
we hit Europe, we hit the Far East, we hit the Southeast, we hit South America. The only thing we didn't hit was North America, really.
Oh, it's like Congress talking about its round trip in 2020.
Yeah. So there we go. So. Even if we can't physically take a trip around the world, we can do it metaphorically on our very own magic carpet ride here at Talking the Mickey.
I'd just like to give a shout out to Australasia.
Australasia? Malaysia's in Australasia, is it not?
Australasia's like Australia, Oceania, New Zealand.
Yeah, it's like Oceania, yeah. Yeah, Malaysia's in there. I'm sure of it.
I have no idea. I just know the two that
Malaysia.
We should probably cut this shit.
No, that's all right. It's all right. We're not here to provide a geography podcast.
Did anyone claim to be good at geography?
No, no,
wonderful.
I really don't.
We're fine then.
So
it is in Asia.
There we go. So Southeast Asia, though, I'm sure of it. So, welcome to. I mean, basically, we got some. We got a couple promos. If you allow me the courtesy, Best Film Ever, our sister podcast, which was this week. It is the Film Stories British Film Podcast of the Week. Best Woo-hoo! Film Ever. Talking the Mickey was it back in autumn?
June, I think.
Was it June? Was it that early? Wow. Yeah,
I remember you told us
it was very early.
We got it really early.
Episode.
Yeah, we got it really, really early.
Because we're amazing.
Yeah, and now here we are. And it's the first time they've ever gone with like a group who has two different podcasts. We're the first double dipper, the first two-time Hall of Famers, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I will definitely take that. And we have a couple of episodes that are out right now which are definitely worth your time. We have Angels with Dirty Faces because Liam decided to pick the most obscure film that ever was. But I really enjoyed it, so it's definitely worth a good listen, I think, if nothing else. One of our bigger arguments, one of our bigger disagreements, and I'll leave the announcement of which side is correct until next week. But
I feel like most of our disagreement happened off podcast.
No, there's actually a fair bit on the mic. I'll tell you, having to edit that, I went, oh, maybe we can sort of give secondary content through all the screen caps of the argument that happened.
Yeah, we'll have to read out the comments.
I think we could do like we should do a live rereading of it.
A table read. Tell us our opinion.
Georgia? I'd just like to point out, I won.
Yeah, Georgia, we're not revealing anything Spoilers. Until next week, so I have to cut that out.
No, because they don't know which. I didn't say anything last
right
episode.
We're just leaving things up in the air right now. That's all we're
I
doing.
I want to win.
You will win. We will make sure that you get the win when it's time for. Okay. All right. So that's episode one. And then episode two, we have The Resties, where we named our worst films we reviewed in 2020. And it is our most successful roundtable to date as far as the first week.
It's, people love it when we hate on
people
stuff.
Like it it's to moan. Bloopers. It's the irony of the best, and then you find there was this show back in America a couple probably a decade or two ago now called The Swan. And The Swan, what it did was it took two women every week, and they were considered by conventional standards to be not attractive, and they would basically drop like $100,000 of plastic surgery on each woman.
Oh my God, I've heard of this show.
And at the end, it's the worst thing. And they would go out to a mirror and they don't get to see anything. So they have all of this, they have facelifts, they have tummy tucks, they have they have like stuff done to their hair and their makeup professionally done and like tattoo makeup, you know what I mean? Like where it's permanent makeup.
And it's semi-permanent, yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. And so at the end, there's a reveal where they sort of lift the curtain up and you get this moment of joy where this woman who doesn't think much of herself gets to see herself as she perceives to be pretty. Now, it always kind of went when you saw it, but it was that idea of what is sometimes sold as beauty. And they saw them and they went, oh, at which point, and they put them in front of a panel of judges and they declare one of them to be the winner of the episode and one of them to be the loser of the episode. So even after all that, one of them is still told, you're not pretty enough.
Oh, I love America.
Oh, my word. That was
stuff. And so, I wish right now we were on a video podcast so everybody could see mine and George's faces as you were explaining.
Well,
that.
Yeah, the joy I come isn't from the fact that this somehow got cleared and someone thought this was a great idea. It's the most damaging thing I can think of by going, rather than tear down these unrealistic expectations of beauty, let's go ahead and just exaggerate it and then tell one of them, still not good enough. Hmm.
See, I want that premise, and it sets it up like it's like that. But just as they go to, like, have all these procedures, what they actually do is just knock all of the judges panel out and
sure.
just go, nope, 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 yeah. nope. That would be good for me.
And so the thing is, I guess what Best Film Ever was the idea that we would then have these greatest films that we brought to the table, and then we tell some of them, that's crap.
Like, stop.
There comes the point. Okay.
Yeah. So that was my rationale for going to my diatribe about The Swan. It did have a purpose, and I think it looks quite well. Actually, I'm quite okay with it. So also check out our episode on Angels with Dirty Faces because someone quite cleverly refers to it as Evil Newsies. And I thought that was a that was a good point. I don't know who that was. We're not revealing those sorts. You have to listen to find out who was.
Revealing anything, apparently.
Not we're just. You'll have to tune into that one to see who was the very clever person on the panel who came up with that. So.
And on the subject of that episode, although I already said this in that episode, I would just like to take this moment to apologize to Ethan for my opinions in the resties.
Yeah, that hurt.
Well, anyway, it's good that we're talking about this because we are taking that same formula and we are bringing it to Talking the Mickey with the talkies and the walkies. And the talkies are our best films that we reviewed in 2020, all the way from episode one, which was Frozen, to Snow White, which closed the year out. So anything within that frame of reference is fair game, and that's everything. That's the Frozen short films. That's Hamilton. That's Muppets Now. That's all these things. The Wild. You know, some names might show up
more. That's not going to be featuring in the besties,
more on one than the other. Well, not the besties.
I'm sorry, the talkies.
The talkies and the walkies. So the talkies will be first.
Oh,
and
it
then
might
we'll,
be actually.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. No spoilers. So
I keep hearing the talkies and Milwaukees, and I'm like, no, okay, that's not a place.
I made my list up today. It's still like we still have some time before we record, but yeah, I'm thinking we're going to have it out if this comes out on Thursday, as it traditionally does. I'm thinking. I'd like to aim for it to be up on Monday following.
Yeah,
that's my hope, is that we can get together and put that one out for Monday. So such is so there we go. There is our promos for the week, and mainly because I'm now gonna go, Ethan, our resident news hound, what you got in the world of Disney news?
I have nothing. It's a great day for me. I've got nothing. The only thing I can tell everyone is tomorrow the new MCU show WandaVision comes out.
Does it?
That's it. Yeah, you get two episodes of WandaVision.
Oh, and the rest is January 15th?
When this episode comes out...
Oh, the next day will be... Sorry.
On the Thursday.
I'm confusing... Yeah, I'm confusing our release date with the day we're doing this.
It doesn't work.
We're Tenet. Tenet. It's called Tenet.
Yeah, so that comes out. You get two episodes of that on the Friday. It seems very good from the reviews.
Yeah.
Nothing else, so I'm just going to talk about the Ratatouille musical that got released on Broadway like a week ago, because why not? There was a Ratatouille musical thanks to TikTok, and it was a weird experience because it was all on Zoom. Check it out, because all the money donated goes to the Actors Guild in America, and yeah, it's a Ratatouille musical.
Interesting.
So it does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I cannot wait until we're all done this and we no longer have to put up with these people trying to creatively imagine how they can use Zoom for like visual things. Like we're obviously doing a podcast on Zoom, but we're not like, here's a narrative I have where everybody's at home talking to their computers for some reason.
We've already got like a lockdown coronavirus heist movie.
Yeah,
with Chiwetel Ejiofor, and sure. Yeah. Why not? I guess.
I'm done with it all. What I want is escapism. I don't want people looking at Zoom cameras. I want people to actually show me people like talking and hugging and all that stuff. Like, let me pretend in a world that exists without coronavirus. I'm okay with my actors doing that.
Sad.
What, people hugging or people? Well, the fact that
watching things where there's no COVID, like just, you know, people having a life.
I'm okay with it. So I think we've delayed this, the inevitable, long enough. Ethan, and I say this with the same question I ask always, I might change my inflection, but why are we watching a Goofy movie?
Why are we still letting Ethan pick?
Who let Ethan pick?
I had 30 seconds to choose a film.
You had 2 hours.
And you picked this?
You had 2 hours and you forgot for an hour, 59 minutes and 30 seconds of it.
And what makes you in your first 30 seconds think of this?
He's what with A. What's a Goofy movie? I got it.
Okay, so like actual answer, I genuinely really enjoy this film. It's a very nostalgic childhood film for me. It was always on like the Disney Cartoon Channel, Disney Cinemagic. I like it. I like the Goof Troop TV show that this is kind of a spin-off of. And it's so very 90s, and I think the soundtrack is great.
All right.
I guess that's up to opinion.
That's up to opinion. Yeah,
yes,
well,
it is.
We will tackle it as we go through. So, Ethan, I asked you if you could come up with some context. Well, I saw there was some, because I sort of steered by the Wikipedia page for a moment, looked at it, and went, not my problem. So, Ethan, what have you got for us in Context Corner this week?
So, in Context Corner, I'm basically just going to talk about the production again, because this is just a weird story. So, Goofy Movie, obviously based on the TV show Goof Troop, which was just an afternoon cartoon show in the early 90s. Disney decided, hey, let's make a film special for this, and we'll put it in the theaters. It was originally supposed to come out in 1994, but Lion King took its place, and you're never going to believe why, because I can't wait to get to it. A little hook there. So this was directed by Kevin Lima, or Lima, I have no idea how to pronounce his last name, and he is the guy who directed Tarzan, 102 Dalmatians, and Enchanted. So he's got...
Wait, so he actually did like a proper Disney animated classic in Tarzan?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you got a track record there, and Enchanted. So he decided that he went, I want to do a Goofy movie because Goofy's always been one-dimensional. And I want to give him an emotional side, because that's what Goofy's lacking, is an emotional character arc. And my favorite quote here is, we wanted the audience to see his feelings instead of his antics.
Gorsh.
Because, of course. Yeah, gorsh. This entire father-son dynamic was based upon a story from Jeffrey Katzenberg, everyone's favorite Quibi CEO, who went on a cross-country road trip with his daughter, who was very estranged and didn't like him at the time, and they bonded considerably because of it. So there's the backstory there. What you wouldn't have guessed is why this film got delayed, and that's because it was given to three animation studios, that being Walt Disney Feature Animation, Television Animation, and Movie Toons Animation, and then set to France, Australia, Spain, and Canada.
Yes.
Big up Canada.
Big up.
And this was going to come out Thanksgiving 1994. The reason why it didn't, and it got delayed like a whole year, was because the monitor they were using to capture the film's animation had a single dead pixel. And they had captured three quarters of the film and had to recapture the entire film again with a non-defective monitor.
Wow.
And that is the only reason. I have no idea if it affected the budget or not. I couldn't find the budget anywhere. But yeah, this film got shafted because of Lion King anyway, which is why it had a really low production budget, because they went, we'll focus on Lion King because that's more important. And then that happened. Everything else is just some characters. So the Goof Troop TV show cast reprised their roles, bar the guy who plays Max, because his voice was like broken at that point.
Yeah.
The character of Powerline is based upon Michael Jackson, Prince, and Bobby Brown. And here's just a really weird tidbit. I want to hear everyone's opinion on this. Goofy was supposed to sound normal in this film.
You can't have that.
Yeah, Jeffrey Katzenberg went, I want Goofy to sound like a normal guy and just be like, hello, it's me, Hyuk Hyuk Goofy, gosh, instead of, you know, bumbling Goofy. And they recorded that for like a week and a half. And Michael Eisner was like, what the fuck did you do? No, out of here. Get off the project. And then just went back to normal Goofy.
When you got Michael Eisner telling you you're wrong, there's something in that. Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty
very
much
wrong.
That's pretty much the entire story of a Goofy movie. There really isn't much story here other than that really weird dead pixel, which I think, I guess, is a good way to describe this film.
Yeah, someone who's once filmed a few things and you get a dead pixel show up, it can be irritating to just stare at that one. It like mocks you, that one pixel. You're like, every time you go black, I just see this dead pixel. Why are you doing that? All right, so let's start the movie. We get a movie is like the title plate, and there's some nice scoring underneath it, and then Goofy is like tacked on over the top of it with a crash sound, and Goofy's like, oh, kind of sound bite underneath it. And I should mention off the top that I hate Goofy, so this is kind of
I would like to preface this also with, I fucking despise Goofy.
I have never liked Goofy.
Me either.
Oh, no. This might be why. I hate Goofy's his voice.
Oh, is he really? Oh,
He's so yuck, whatever that is. I hate it.
Gorsh.
Goofy was mean to me when I went to Disneyland when I was 9.
Wow.
Ellie's got a personal vendetta.
I do.
Actually, I have a picture of me with Goofy, come to think of it.
Well, I don't have anything from Goofy because I had a Pluto hat because I liked Pluto. And Goofy came up to me and was like, I don't like you because you've got a Pluto hat.
Well, he spoke to you.
Well, I can't remember.
I think that would break the rules, I'm pretty sure.
I'm guessing not.
Character
did he sound like Gorsh, or did he sound like, yo, I don't like Pluto?
I was nine.
I'm Jeffrey Katzenberg told me to play him this way.
He probably gave me like a thumbs down or something.
All right.
Pointed at my hat. I can't remember, but he wasn't very nice to me.
When he signed the autograph book, it just had like a hearty fuck you.
and so that's what this movie felt like to me, which is like a hearty fuck you. But we meet Max, and he's like staring at the camera, and I'm like, is he aware of the camera, or is this a point of view shot from the wheat's perspective? Because he's in a wheat field with this music, and he's literally put Roxanne, because he runs through and finds, and there's Roxanne, and she's literally been put on a pedestal. Like, it's a literal pedestal. Yeah. Yes. And so he sort of takes her down off this pedestal, and so obviously he's interested in her. And she has a slit up her dress that is pretty high, especially once I find out she's supposed to be. Yeah, once you find out she's supposed to be 14, I'm like, what?
This made me so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was. It made me uncomfortable as well. And they're laying. I'm gonna put it on my notes. Pre-amorously on the grass. And then he starts turning into his father. His teeth get big and he goes gorsh and all this sort of stuff. And she's horrified by this. And as this happens, before we see what happens, she sees what happens. And the score turns minor key and the weather turns like thundery. And obviously it's a dream sequence that's going wrong. And I am sitting there going, at its base level, I can relate to the idea of being a teenager who is embarrassed of their parents. I understand that narrative. No matter who your parents, I think, are or were, at least in the 90s, there was this idea that you're like, oh, no. I remember my mom would drive by and I'd be like, and our car wasn't very nice. And I'd be like, and in Canada, like not nice cars were like huge cars. Like they're just massive. And you're like, oh, it's such a lame car. And I don't drive. Mom, just take the other way around. Do not drive by the bus stop. Just go the other way. And yeah, I mean, it's just nature, I think, to kind of go no, and you because you're trying to find that place where you're sort of developing your own adult personality, and the one thing you don't want is the reminder that you're not there yet, because I think as teenagers we like to jump from thinking one day you've got like a child brain and the next day you're like, I've got it figured out, I'm independent. I'm not a kid anymore. And we don't realize it's a spectrum. We're like, no, I've arrived. And the last thing you want is that manifestation of, no, you're still a kid driving by and like waving. So, yeah. He wakes up and he's late for school. And I've gotten my notes talking to Mickey because the phone rings and it's literally a Mickey Mouse telephone.
Yep.
So he's talking to Mickey. And so he's late for school. And we find out there's something that has to happen today at school, but it's left from us, which I liked. It was a bit of an enigma. And I'm like, okay, you're giving me something to stick around for. And Goofy comes into his bedroom. And the joke, I guess, is that he's like a woman because he's got a towel around his torso, including up to where if you were a woman, where your breast line would more or less be. And he's got one on his hair, like we tend to see women in shows when they're drying their hair. So he's got that look. And the joke is, ha, ha, ha.
In shows?
TV shows, sorry.
What about in real life?
Sure.
Women don't have hair for towels.
Okay. But I'm just saying it's that typical image. And so he's been effeminized, if you will. And I'm like, is this the joke? Is this the joke that he's not manly enough? Because you can make that joke without making him a woman.
You'd think so.
I don't know. Is it just me? I was sitting there going, what's the point of this joke with the towels? It's just got to be to make him effeminate.
No, it was weird.
Yep.
Unless it's just like a kind of, because you never see Max's mum. So unless it's
there's
kind
no
of like
mums this is, in this, it's all dads.
It is all dads.
That's very true.
Role of women's not great.
No.
Donks.
No.
But like, unless it's supposed to be, you know, like here's mum and dad. Here's the feminine and the masculine.
But are we saying like Goofy's like a seahorse?
Yeah.
I didn't mean literally. I meant taking the role of.
That's what I said.
I want, what was that Arnold Schwarzenegger film where he's like pregnant with the kid?
Junior.
I want that. Yeah, I want Junior, but with Goofy.
Gosh, I've gone into labor. and so Goofy wants to take Max to school, and Max isn't feeling it. And he's hoovering the room at this point, because it's what you do when you've got, like, you know, two towels on and you're dripping from the shower.
No, he's hoovering up the laundry.
Oh, right. Yeah, wear your dirty clothes. I'll hoover them up.
So weird.
And so then he, like, there's like a cardboard cutout of Powerline, this rock star. And like, this is the strongest cardboard I've ever seen, because it like takes a lot, like it tears ever so slightly in the back. He's like, "You've ruined it." He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." He's like, "Who is that anyway?" He goes, "Oh, he's just the biggest rock star in the world." At no point have I ever referred to anybody as the biggest rock star in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't think they, maybe in a previous era, but like Madonna was the biggest star in the world, and Marilyn Monroe was the biggest star in the world. Has there been a biggest star in the world since Madonna? Or Michael Jackson? Probably not. And so basically we find out that Max is also a dweeb, but Goofy prefers the Mambo King, in case we're just trying to get, I guess they're trying to force feed me that Goofy's not cool. And I'm like, I get it. It's Goofy. This isn't a new character you got to break ground on with me. I'm with you. Goofy's an embarrassment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where I wrote it in my notes. Oh my God, there's songs in this film.
Yeah, it's a musical.
I was not expecting this.
It's not a very goofy movie. It's a very goofy fucking musical.
And it's, I think the first song's called After Today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's full of 90s desires. It's the last day of school you pick up, and they're all going to go to school for, like, I don't know, half an hour or something like that. And then they're going
to
go.
And that didn't make sense to me. He's like, oh, yeah, I got 1 hour left of class.
Like, they bring you in for 1 hour?
I don't know if that's an American thing or not.
It's nothing that I'm familiar with. And so it's full of, like, 90s. I was like, I'm going to live at the mall. We're going to go, you know, we're just going to surf all day, all these things. And then when Max sings, his voice is like 30 years old. He has a deep man's voice. Really?
Yeah, so they got an R&B star. I can't remember his name, but he was like 17 and just hitting the mainstream of R&B pop. And he was like,
and he did this.
I bet you this killed it.
I'd never heard of him.
Yep.
So,
Roxanne doesn't notice Max, and we see her like walk right by him. And in case we didn't see it, I don't know how you couldn't, because she walks right through the foreground. Max then sings a line about how she just looked right through me, and I'm like, oh, okay. At which point,
it's that sort of storytelling.
It's that sort of storytelling. Like, we're going to feed you everything three times in three different ways, so you get the point. Max eventually, though, goes to school, and he's in the football bleachers, and he falls down the stairs, and Roxanne runs up to him and is like, oh, are you okay? And then Max pulls out a hook, and he gets all embarrassed and runs away, and she's like still completely like doting on him. It's like, read the room, dude.
He's pretty useless.
And he's like, no one cares. He's a dork, and everyone calls him a dork and all these sorts of things. And he's like, oh, Hyuk, oh, I'm an idiot. And I'm like, Max, maybe no one likes you because you go in the school corridor and start yelling at yourself. Maybe you make everybody else feel really uncomfortable.
This film made me feel really uncomfortable.
If you want to talk to yourself, buy a microphone and put out a podcast. It's great. And so we meet Pete Jr., and he's brought a video camera for something that's going to happen later today. We still don't know what that is, but we're building the enigma, and I'm going, I actually respect the movie a little bit right here.
I respect the movie a little bit here because I love the name PJ and then the shortening of PJ. That makes me really happy.
Okay.
There was a YouTuber I used to watch whose name was PJ, and he got called PJ, and it just makes my heart happy. I just like it.
And then we meet Pauly Shore. And I should say Bobby, but no, he's playing Pauly Shore. Now, the question is, are you guys aware of who Pauly Shore is?
I only know him as Cheddar! Ow, ow, ow!
You know him from this?
Yeah.
Okay. Pauly Shore did a series of movies in the early 90s. He did Son-in-Law. He did Jury Duty. He did Encino Man.
What? No!
Yeah.
Encino Man!
Yeah. He's like Sean Astin's friend in Encino Man. And so, like, he did a series of things, and this was his shtick. He would just walk around going, like, oh, Cheddar! I don't know what accent that was. But he was like, you know, oh, do the weasel, man. And he would do these sounds, and this was his shtick. So he's not playing Bobby. He's playing himself, and they just animated something around him. Huh. So he's there because he's going to do some tech for the boys. That's all you find out for this Enigma. Mm. And he's paid in liquid cheese in a can, which is a thing in America. I have had it.
Mm. Not good.
It is
How
not
good.
Good
is it?
It is not good.
Okay.
And he like coughs up, and he coughs up like actual bits of the cheese come out of his throat.
It's so gross.
And
I
land.
Was like, COVID. Oh no.
And they land on the boy's shirts, and they're kind of like, "Oh, my shirt's dirty." I'm like, "I got a they're much bigger shirt. Issue than this."
And then I'm burning this shirt.
And then we go to the assembly, and I couldn't figure out if the kids were bullying Stacy or sexually harassing Stacy. But neither has aged well.
That
of those two
nerd
options.
Was.
That nerd. The nerd's like, "Oh, Stacy, bring it over here." I'm like, "Whoa."
I think the joke is that the nerd is not the one you'd expect to be sexually harassing someone. But even then, it's not aged.
I think it shows that like everybody has their own kind. They're supposed to kind of like in the great social chain. And some nerds will sexually harass the nerd girls. It's like, oh, that's sweet. There's someone to harass them too.
Yeah, as someone who's in the anime and whatever community, that's true.
Yeah.
And disgustingly true.
Well, I think it's getting more, that side of things from my limited understanding of it is that's getting pretty Lehman toxic though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Anime, Star Wars, whatever, it's so toxic.
Yeah, video game culture as well, I believe, for female gamers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know of it, I'm not in the gaming community, but from conversations I've had with people, it's incredibly difficult to be a female
2014
gamer.
Was a weird time.
Yeah, I read a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff was trending on Twitter. On that note, trending on Twitter, I believe what's her name from the Mandalorian?
Oh, Carano!
Gina Carano was trending
she
on Twitter.
She did it again! She did it again! Yeah, she was in full support of the little attack on in DC.
Whoa!
Yeah, she was fully for it and like properly celebrating it, liking posts and all that. And now she's back. Well, I say back on Parler. Parler's gone, so I guess she's only got that. I have no idea.
There's a new thing called Gab. I want to say it is.
Oh God!
Because Trump has been banned from Twitter. He signed up for a new service that hasn't banned him, and like tens of thousands of people every hour are switching to this new thing.
Oh dear God! The only place he's not banned from, I guess, is like there and OnlyFans, and I don't think Trump's an OnlyFans kind of guy.
I would assume not. I'm not going there. Stacy announces as part of her role as student body president, she announces we're going to have a party. And we're going to watch a Powerline concert on pay-per-view. And
this
I'm like,
a bit of an odd thing to announce in a school assembly.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I've got my notes. Is this really what you use that platform for, to invite people around to your house?
I mean, there was no Facebook or Twitter at the time.
And I love the idea that, like, you know, you're going to sell music on pay-per-view. Like I assume for some people that was I don't really remember a lot of it. I've seen some since COVID happened. My sister got me a gift to a virtual concert of the Canadian, alternative kind of folky 90s band, Bare Naked Ladies. They did like a Christmas thing and she got me a ticket to that. It was like a virtual pre-tape concert and it was all right.
I know they did that for the Rent musical in Manchester a few weeks
ago. Yeah, but I mean, like in a series where like live tours still happen, like why would you do that? Unless it's like the last date of your tour and you're like, okay, you wouldn't do it now because it would be on the internet the next day and everyone would just download the tracks.
Mm.
So, yeah. And so then we get introduced to the principal. And did anybody pick up who the principal was?
Yes, I did.
This is Principal.
I know the voice.
This is Principal f***ing Wallace Shawn Mazur.
I thought so.
Inconceivable, say you. No, he is here. He's collecting. He's in love with this Disney money. And he's like,
blame him.
Where's the Disney movie at? Because I will do that. Haunted Mansion? I'm in. Goofy movie? Sign me up. We need someone who's going to be really, you know, could get really embarrassed by it. We've got the guy. We know who
he
is.
John Ratzenberg of like C-tier Disney films.
He looks at John Ratzenberg and goes, we're the same. Ratzenberg's like, we're not the same.
I didn't realize he doesn't cameo in Soul.
He does. It's a visual, not an audio. So it's his likeness rather than his voice.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. So, he comes up with like things the students should do over their break. And one of them, I caught science slumber parties. And that sounded problematic to me.
Yeah.
There's lots of different types of science.
Oh, was it?
Okay. One of them is biology.
Well, I was just saying, just the idea. I'm just like, just, I think the principle suggesting slumber parties in general is just something you don't want to have happen.
I know this whole joke, like, this whole film films like it's been written by, like, a 90s elementary student.
Yep.
Because it's, like, the parents are dorky, and, like, everyone goes to the same party, and there's no class divide, and, like, aren't all the teachers so the worst, and cheese pizza.
Yeah, cheese pizza.
Skateboards, man.
Skateboards and cheese pizza. So... and neon everything. And so
Bigfoot.
And all of a sudden the sign comes down or the screen comes down. And now Max is cosplaying as Powerline with the most 90s sunglasses you'll ever see. And they even build a trap door and like take out the principal. Of all the things they do, that's the thing that's really going to get you in trouble, I think. But he's sort of dancing and Pete's got one camera and is like my handheld just sort of walking around, and yet they're getting like a whole variety of angles and shot distances and they're like editing in like real time. If Bobby is this good, he should be in Hollywood tomorrow if he can do that off of one camera. And then like he's even like swinging through the crowd and like dunking a basketball, and the song is called Stand Out. And the chorus goes, "Stand out and notice me," as he sings this to Roxanne, which I felt was a bit on the nose.
None of them recognized him.
No, it's Clark Kent Superman sort of syndrome.
He's got sunglasses on, and that's it. He's disguised.
And I wonder how his voice is being amplified, because it seems like he's just singing like bare voice.
I thought he was lip syncing.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
I think so.
That would make sense because he was doing his own backing vocals at one point. I was like, how is this happening? And we know it's working because some girl in the crowd goes, "Who's that guy?" And the song somehow runs out of power. And it's like if you run out of power, if the switch gets switched, it just turns off. It's like that. And, you know, stand out and notice. And then Max is unmasked and everyone's like, "Oh, it's the dork." And I'm like, "Wait, hang on, a minute ago you thought he was really cool." I'd be like, "Wow," but you know, be like, "Wow, props to the dork, he did that." Which apparently it takes 5 seconds to clue in, because once he goes outside, everybody loves him.
Yeah.
In the assembly hall, everybody hates him. Goes outside. "Hey, remember when you did that thing 5 seconds ago? That was great." But before we get there, we have Goofy on the job, and he's a child photographer and works with Pete. And apparently this is a two-man job. To photograph
Goofy
babies.
In this.
And Pete is jealous about how good Goofy is at the job. And Pete butts in and is paid back by being assaulted by this little girl. And I'm supposed to laugh, I think.
Yeah.
And this is where we find out that Pete is taking Pete Jr. camping. And Pete says something's wrong when a kid won't spend time with his parents. And he makes a nice Velcro joke where like Pete like glues a Velcro bottom to the desk and then puts the other half on like, the little girl's diaper.
I did not find that a nice joke. I found that really weird.
Oh, I thought it was funny.
It's not his kid.
Yeah, but he's like, you can't get him to sit still. It's that old joke of like photographers with babies and things like that.
No.
All right.
I didn't hate it. I thought it was quite funny that he used Velcro to stick her to the table. Yeah. I thought that was quite funny. I didn't like the bit when she's then not got a nappy on and is running down the street. That was a bit weird.
You've got that. I've got that in my notes as well. But right then, we're talking about you got to keep your kids busy or else they'll turn bad. And Goofy goes, "Well, Max is a good kid and he would never get caught up in something like that." Smash cut to the principal's office. And Pauly Shore has got some leftover material, so they edit them into this scene about the Leaning Tower of Cheesa. And it's the last day of school. I mean, are we really going to all this bother for a song? If it's an hour long and then you're on summer vacation, you're just sending the kid home for the summer, aren't you?
I mean, it's Wallace Shawn.
Just go home. You're a T-Rex. That's what you are. And so... I don't know why Roxanne likes sulky Max, because at this point she walks by and his head's like in his hands and he's like all like sad.
Girls like weird TikTok stars. This kind of feels normal to me now.
Even though the film says I'm supposed to like Max and I don't, I don't know why Roxanne likes sulky Max. And then she taps Max, and that meant something different in the 90s. I just want to make sure that we know that. because I tap him and I'm like, whoa, no. And so I had a question. Why does Max have to wear gloves if Roxanne doesn't? Is this a gendered thing where the boys had to wear gloves?
It looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, all the boys have got gloves on.
Like, how do you know it's a boy? Because it's wearing gloves.
Well, they even have that line. I think it's in this one or the second one. Where
I think it must be the second one. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, no, Cheddar Boy is like, do you ever wonder why we always wear gloves? Like, I've never seen my hands, dude.
Nah, I wasn't in this one. I would have appreciated that. Max asks Roseanne out, and then they come up with superlatives for having a good time. Marvelous, extraordinary, wicked, gnarly. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Max celebrates them by mamboing with the secretary, which was a nice touch, I thought, to his dad. But she doesn't consent, and then when she's called up on it, her only issue is that it's not her lunch break and she can't be dancing yet. And we find out that they want to phone Mr. Goof. So if I may, Goofy's full name is Goofy Goof.
Yes.
No, I think his surname is just Goof, but we don't ever find out his first name. He just gets called Goofy as
That's what I'd assumed.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, maybe. Mm. Maybe. I like... Let me have my moment.
Well, like Mario,
or Kramer, Kramer, or Boutros, Ghali. But moving on, we've got. So I was like, is this like Snoop Doggy Dog? But apparently not. And then Principal Mazur uses a little bit of hyperbole when he's on the phone to a parent and someone who works in a school. Maybe it's different now in the era of Facebook and whatnot, but he suggests that his son's going to turn into a gang member who's incited a riot, and if he's not careful, he's going to end up for the electric chair. Have a good summer.
Yeah.
And so Goofy has an idea. He's going to go on a fishing trip with Max, and I'm going, this is not what I would call punishment.
I mean, technically it is for Max.
Well, it is, but Goofy's unaware of it. It's punishment, yes. And then I've got the same point Georgia made, which was, did I just see a bare-assed cartoon kid running away from the camera?
Yeah, you did.
I did.
Baby butt. Baby dog butt? Are they all dogs?
I think they're all dogs, yeah.
Are they all dogs?
Yeah.
Or just different types of dogs? Yeah.
They're all dogs. And then back at school, everyone loves Max except for me. And he gets high fives all around. And we have a reprise of Standout. And I'll say this. I do hate Max. And I hate Max throughout this film. He does save a baby in this sequence. Because he goes through a house and the baby's going to put like a fork in the outlet. And he like takes the fork away. So I guess we can overlook, yeah. I guess we can overlook the breaking and entering as part of the process. But,
and then he copies Dodger in Oliver and Company.
How does he do that?
He like skateboards inside a giant pipe tubey thing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
on a crane.
And then back at the house is when Max realizes they're going on vacation together. And when Max realizes what it means, there's a dolly zoom on him. And I appreciate animating a dolly zoom. I do.
It's nice detail.
And Max doesn't want to go fishing, but there's a family rod and there's a family map. And for some reason, despite having all this tradition, Goofy didn't think about this until Pete put the idea in his head.
Hmm. Kind of makes you go, Goofy, what happened to you on that fishing trip? Why have you forgotten this?
If we had all these sort of like family memories tied up with it, which he tells us about the whole movie, why wasn't this a plan for the summer to begin with?
And why has he never taken him on a fishing trip before?
Exactly. And he could have got there the same way.
You couldn't move on. You had to forget for a while.
I mean, you could have. Maybe she died on the fishing trip one year.
Can we just still take a step and just go, Goofy had sex with something.
Yeah.
Something.
Unless he is actually like a seahorse, removes that problem. Yeah.
But no, because we're shown that they obviously are gendered because we've got Roxanne and Max's coupling.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but maybe just Goofy isn't.
He's got a dad.
He's got a dad.
An exception.
Nothing else in this film makes sense.
Well,
that's true.
And so Max doesn't want to go on the trip. He wants to go to the party. And it was a funny line where Goofy goes, why, when I was your age, I'd never even been invited to a party. And Goofy goes all Marie Kondo and says goodbye to his house and goodbye to his mailbox and goodbye, you know, broken lumber on the wood. I was like, this is if Marie Kondo was Goofy. This is what would happen.
I love Marie Kondo.
I knew you would, so I threw that in there. Goofy tries reverse psychology before this. It doesn't work. But they have to do one last stop at Roxanne's house. And I thought it was really weird that Roxanne's hair and her shirt matched the stripe pattern on her father's shorts.
Yeah, a bit weird.
But it did do that. I'm like, I shouldn't. Did you color coordinate? Did dad buy shorts based on your hair color and shirt choice? This feels really weird.
I was too busy looking at the fact that she was patting her dad on the bum.
Yes,
to worry
she was.
About whether
she was.
They
and
had
being like, good dad, oh. good dad. Like, it's treating him like a dog.
Like, dad's a dog in this world where everybody's an anthropomorphized dog. Oh, that's strange.
Yeah.
And it's this I think it was probably that the peak of this was the 80s, 90s, the trope of the ridiculously overprotective father. You know, the one who's like, you know, I will get a shotgun and you will be dead and they will never find you. That kind of dad.
Or in this case, growl.
Growl, yeah. And so then they go to sit, and his first move is to pick her up by the waist and put her up on the...
rather forward.
Which the dad isn't feeling, and I'm kind of with dad on that. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Ethan, you're going to defend this move on behalf of your boy,
Max. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not defending this at all. Like, you're saying all these things, and I'm going, oh, no. Oh, no. This film hasn't aged well at all, and I know this deep inside.
I'm just trying to sort of play up the romantic stakes is all they're doing.
Oh yeah.
But the problem I have is then when he's like, I have to go away, and she's like, I guess I can find someone else to go with me. I'm like, whoa, Roxanne is a bitch.
Yep.
It's not his fault.
Like, his dad is sat there in the car. They've clearly got a lot packed because they've got this stuff on the top of the car. Like, he's like, I'm really sorry. My dad surprised me when we've gone home. We've got to go on this holiday. Hopefully I can see you soon. Please don't go without me.
And Roxanne,
please go and have a good time.
Have a good time, but don't go with someone else. But Roxanne's status is weird because at the start, she's clearly the dream girl. Not literally the dream girl, although she is. But, I mean, like, she's, like, really... That first scene at the school, her seems like her social standing's ridiculously high. And as the movie goes on, you're like, you're a bigger dork than Max is.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then he goes, after he says, I'm sure I can find someone else, he goes, well, my dad's taking me to the Powerline concert in L.A. Yeah, they used to play together. And I'm going, what are the odds that kids would be into musicians who could pass to be their father's age? Because music is a very generational thing, isn't it? So if he was his father's age, dad should know who Powerline is. It wouldn't be the most popular act at the middle school. That would be someone younger because music's a very generational. This is our music, not your music.
Yeah, I was going to say, Powerline doesn't look very old.
Yeah.
He doesn't look much older than Max does.
Maybe Roxanne's an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, although obviously Stacey's not, it would seem. Stacey seems really smart. And I judged up with the fact she's a nerd, not because I saw any sort of academic prowess on her part, but that's what movies have conditioned me. She's nerdy, therefore she's clever.
She seems to kind of have a rough idea of how social standings work as well, though. Like, she encourages the whole, like, going and talking to him and then leaving when it's... You know, like, yeah, you've made your point now. Now let's keep him keen and move on.
And then, like, Max doubles down and goes... Well, I was hoping I could wave to you on stage and we joined Powerline on stage at the concert. Like, you already had her with I'm going to the concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate Max.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go on the road and Goofy films while he drives. And I'm like, this felt, you tell us before mobile phones and all this stuff, because there's so much distracted driving in this. And Max sits in that way that all teenagers sit, where you like take up like four times as much room as is necessary. Not that one yet. That's going to come. But he's like sprawl, or like one arm and then, and then like a leg in each direction. Yeah. And so Goofy starts reading off a list of road games, and apparently one's 20 questions, and I will give him credit. The first one is it a man? Yeah. Yes. Is it Walt Disney? Yes.
That's the only man they know. The rest of them are dogs.
Yep.
I think Walt Disney's like their version of God.
Maybe God backwards is dog, and there's a link here.
There was also the, are you going with you? I'm going with my best friend, who, Donald Duck.
Yes, there is that.
Well, Mickey and Donald even have a cameo like during this next song.
Do they?
Yeah.
They sing it. They sing a line.
Okay. Well, I was taking notes and going, I hate Ethan. As Goofy's reading off his list of road in the games, I just want him to watch the road. I mean, this guy's worse than Barley and Onward. Uh-huh. And Barley was bad. Mm-hmm. and they break the tape deck. Break the tape deck. That was harder to say than I was anticipating. So here's my problem. Here's my problem with the tape deck scene, which is this. Obviously, and Max does this thing where he turns the radio on. And I guess as a teenager in a Disney film, you can't just listen to the radio. You have to air guitar as it goes along because that's what it is. But then Goofy wants to play. Oh, what is the song? I forget. Let's say it was This Land Is Your Land. It's not This Land Is Your Land, but let's say it is. So when you eject the tape, it's not like it's two radio stations going back and forth where when you're listening to song A, song B continues to play. With a tape, as soon as you hit the radio and eject the tape, it should stay right where it was. But it kept missing like 3 seconds of time in between each time it came back across. I'm like, that's not how tape decks work. People of the younger generation, I'm here to tell you, that's not how tape decks worked. They did not keep playing.
I'm aware, thank you.
No, it's not you. It's the people even younger than you I'm reaching out to. This is the voice of experience coming at you.
It's Ethan. That's who you're talking to.
I don't know, but this is an 8-track.
Ethan,
this is
do you remember cassettes?
I have VHSs still.
Do you have audio? Did you have audio cassettes?
Yes.
Did you really?
I had Wiggles audio cassettes.
Now, this was not an audio cassette. This was an 8-track, which I never had. That was before my time. Which is, again, how non-hip is Goofy? Well, he's got a car with an 8-track player in it. And so there's a song called On the Open Road. And Goofy's still a bad driver. And this was a nice
driving with his feet.
This was nobody's a good
How
driver
is the
in
car
this.
Moving?
Nobody's a good driver in this universe. Because there's like a truck driver who's like ready to run them off the road. By the time the song's over, he's on top of his lorry. I don't know how the car's driving full stop. Like, he's on top of it. So it's just weird. But there were some nice visual gags. We had a piano player in the back of a pickup truck. Goofy passes a prison truck, and it was modern, but the prisoner in it was from like the 1880s with like the black and white stripes and like the giant like ball and chain. There was even a Beverly Hills 90210 reference to make sure we knew that we're in the 90s. There's a dead person singing. They lift up the coffin, and there's a dead person singing.
Oh, yeah.
And a load of nuns.
And
what
a load
was
of nuns.
It with this film and nuns? Nuns showed up a couple of times.
And they had the smallest lanes ever on this interstate. Like, they're all like really tight together here. And I'll drive at the same speed. It's incredibly dangerous. So, and then I've got my notes here. Goofy is still a bad driver because he won't give Max the map and it almost kills them. However, tell me about this Mickey and Donald cameo that took place during the song.
They're fixing their car on the open road and Mickey's voice actor is not good. And it looks like a character. You know, there are some films that caricature like Mickey Mouse, like to, you know, stop technically being sued for copyright law.
Yeah, so it's like Ricky Rouse and things like that.
Yeah, it felt like that. He didn't really look like Mickey Mouse. It was just like Mickey and a Donald.
Because it's been outsourced, do you think this is just them kind of having some fun with the big boys? Because you have to have a pretty big inferiority complex chip on your shoulder, wouldn't you?
I think like there's a lot of referencing Disney products. There's like, I know there's a Little Mermaid reference at some point, like in the background of the scene. And there's a couple sort of pot shots at Disney rides as well.
Yes. I've got that in my neck. Yeah. And so Goofy won't give Max the map because he doesn't want to ruin the big surprise. And if you're like, well, how long will I have to wait for the surprise? Literally 5 seconds, because they're here. It wasn't like they did a cut and then they were there. It's like, no. I said, I don't want to ruin the surprise. And they're pulling into the parking lot. And it's like ghetto Disneyland. It's like a robotic possum Disneyland. And I wish I had some sort of pause for the parks on the robotic possums and seeing kind of what that would do. But yes,
I think it's supposed to be a reference to the Country Bear Jamboree that they have in like Adventureland, which is it's like a Chuck E. Cheese, but really ugly animatronic bears all singing and dancing.
And
no one likes it, but we all kind of appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Max is the only one who doesn't like it. Georgia.
I think it's also a bit of a nod to the fact that animatronics of all sorts and shapes in park history are never reliable and they always break and go wrong, but there's a lovability about them all the same, and like people just whacking the side to make them go again. That used to work, but now they're mostly electronic and hydraulics and project
actions. And so now you get like 404 errors pop up where their faces should be because the projection has stopped working. So yeah, the animatronics just don't work reliably, but they are great.
Max goes, my life is a living, and then he's cut off. I'm going, hello, little buddy. And I'm like, okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And the mascot is called Lester, which is the creepiest name for a mascot ever. And Max is violent.
Like Herbert the Pervert from Family Guy.
Yeah. And so Max is violent. And again, Max is the only one who doesn't like this place. And I'm wondering if it's a challenge against Disneyland by disgruntled Disney writers and animators. It felt like a bit of a shot against the theme park.
It feels like it.
Yep. And here's my question, because I understand that Goofy's an idiot. I understand that's the character, okay? But where is the tipping point where Goofy actually has to be aware of how unhappy his kid is? Because at some point, this stops being, even if you're into it, funny.
Yeah, that's why I was like, this is why I just really didn't appreciate this film. It's just not.
It's like Max is good at hiding his feelings. So at what point are you like, no. I can't suspend my disbelief any further. Like, he's clearly having a bad time. Goofy, what's your issue?
I think this is a film that I watched as a kid. So I remember being like, oh, Goofy's such an annoying dork and loser. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Max is so cool. And watching it as an adult, and I'm like, oh, no, Max is a little fuckhead. Like, as adults, this is your first time watching it, I'm assuming. So you're seeing it more from Goofy's POV of like, I just want a nice family road trip.
I'm so not seeing it from anyone's point of view. It's shit.
And so Max and Goofy dance and are called Dork and Dork Jr. So when these idiots start calling you dorks, that's bad. And Max tries to hitchhike and Goofy still can't figure out that Max isn't having fun. And Max doesn't want to do anything and he gets all pouty. And I get the movie wants me to feel sorry for Goofy, but what other option is there? I hate Goofy and I hate Max.
I just hate it so much.
So then they're at the camp and then enter Pete. And can someone explain to me, because Pete rolls up in the, like, blingest of blingy RVs ever. Can someone explain to me how he can afford this on a children's photographer's salary?
Credit cards.
What, all of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a woman. There's a Pete-essa.
Pete-off.
And she...
Maybe Pete's got himself an OnlyFans page.
Maybe.
And so he unplugs the stereo. Oh, because this is the thing. Max goes in to the RV, and there's Pete Jr. bopping around as he's hoovering, right? Da, 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 da. And then Max turns the stereo, pulls the plug out, turns the stereo off, and Pete Jr. is still dancing for a while. And I'm like, what you dancing to? Because like, we're all sitting here with headphones.
His own groove.
His own groove, PD Jr.
He's in the moment.
Yeah, okay.
He's in the zone.
That was it.
Meanwhile, we cut outside. Very nice. And Pete tells Goofy he needs to keep Max underneath his thumb. And to his credit, it briefly works. He's like, we are going fishing. He's like, yes, Dad. And so they go fishing. And I'm still expecting to see Merida and her mother practicing on how to catch fish.
You're really pleased with yourself
for
that.
I'm very pleased with myself. Yeah. There's a shout out to something that might show up in the talkies or the walkies.
You can see someone's been writing their talkies and walkies list.
I wrote that joke before that.
For the benefit of our listeners who haven't got the visuals, I'd just like to let you know that Ian just punched the air. Yeah.
This movie has infected me with the cool factor of a Goofy movie.
I should probably add that at this moment in the film, I decided I'd had enough and I went for a power nap.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep, it got that bad.
Like, it's an 80-minute movie that feels like it takes forever. At one point, I
need a power nap in the middle of an 80-minute movie.
At one point, because you keep in mind, even with credits, it's like 75. With opening credits, like 72 minutes of footage is all we got to worry about. And I checked, and it's still like 45 minutes left at this point. I'm like, what is this film doing?
I got to a point where I took my Switch out to start playing while watching, and I like this film.
Oh, jeez. And so we talk about the perfect cast. And at this point, I have... Okay, he catches a steak, but then, wait, hang on. This film has time for a Bigfoot storyline?
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Why is Bigfoot in this film?
This is where I go lazy Disney movie bingo, and this is like, tick, Bigfoot. And they're like, well, get the camera. It's Bigfoot. And they have to abandon the camera and lock themselves in the car. And they go, well, at least we have the only video. And Bigfoot is able to understand English language, because he goes then and destroys the videotape. And Bigfoot also at this moment waits till they realize they don't have the keys to show them, I've got the keys and know what keys are, and throws them into the woods. And then Nightfall.
I hate it.
Nightfall, and Bigfoot is doing sock puppetry. And I'm like, this required two scenes? And half of, at this point, I realized half of Max's animation, the whole film, is just him with his head down and his arms folded.
Which was me watching this film, to be fair.
Was it? Bigfoot hits the car, and the hitting the car causes headphones to land on his head that already happened to be playing Staying Alive. So he can
and he does
dance.
The
like,
that
this reminded
me,
again, it's never a wild tie over, but wasn't there like a musical dance contest with like the wildebeests or something?
I'm having a very nice day.
Yeah.
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 This film exists to try and. It's not this. Sorry, this scene. This film exists for pain. The scene exists solely because they need to get that emotional beat of, well, I used to do things with my dad. We used to cook beans and soups. There's a much better way, I'm sure, you can get to that plot point without having a Sasquatch attack.
I'm going
to
argue the film is mediocre until about this point in the film. And then it goes off a cliff into, like, dreadful zone. Because this is where
Literally
they start...
It does, as well.
Yeah, this is where they start running out of material and just start going for, like, random tropes.
Yeah.
I'd just like to put together two of Ethan's quotes from about 2 minutes apart. The first one was, I like this movie. The second one was, this film exists for pain.
Yeah.
What?
And so, oh, right. That was really the part where we talk about high dad soup. And he's like, how do you do? Oh, and so Goofy takes the soup and opens it with his giant teeth. And he goes, oh, how'd you learn how to do that? It's like, well, you got giant teeth. Like, it's not like rocket science here, is it? But he goes, your granddad taught me that. And then we find out that Bigfoot got, but the bonding moment in the script is over. And then he goes to sleep on top of the car. And Max looks at his own soup can that he's drank his half out of. And it says, hi. It just happens to say hi, dad. Out of all the possible combinations of the English language, that happens to be at the bottom of the soup.
Hate it.
And then we go to the fact that they're, oh, I literally went fuck off when I saw hi, dad. and then they're sleeping and Bigfoot snoring and dad is snoring and Max continues to lie and I continue to hate him because he's trying to write a letter to Roxanne, and at first he's like, oh, LA is great, and he's like, no, and he says, I understand if you never want to see me again, but he goes, oh no, I can't have him do that. And so then it just turned into, you know, he goes, oh, my life sucks. And he rips it up and throws it out the window. And
he
says,
straight up letters.
I lied. And I'm like, at what point am I supposed to like this character? And he has a moment of honesty and then goes back to his usual pouting animation. He kicks the glove box and the map and pencil come out. And I'm supposed to believe that Goofy would be this slavish to the map. I'm like, wake up. It's not 2020. We're not talking about sat navs. People pay attention to maps and know when their route has been changed.
Yeah.
It is Goofy,
definitely.
Though.
Yeah. And the next morning, they're in a diner. And I know what you're thinking at this point. So you're going to tell me how they got rid of Bigfoot?
Nope.
And so,
or got the keys back.
Any of that stuff. No, they're just in the diner. And so the waitress sits there and waits until Max acknowledges him to give him his food, because that's how it works. And Elvis is there in the background, which I did appreciate. That was an all right visual gag. And then Goofy makes Max the navigator. And this proves the whole map scene irrelevant, because if he gets to be the navigator, doesn't matter what the map says, you can go to LA.
I think it's supposed to be a moral thing for Max, but at the same time, like, why does it matter?
Once he's changed the map, I mean, it's pretty much over. I mean, it is what it is. But Max gets to pick the spot. Max gets to pick the spots. And then, unlike Goofy, he realizes after a couple days of, like, monster trucks and, like, jet skis that Goofy's not having fun and does change the trip so that Goofy will also have fun at the House of Yarn and things like that. And they flat out kill a mime and just whistle it off. Like, they drop, like, a... piano on a mime's head and then just like walk away and go, oh, bonding time.
Nothing of value was lost.
And I didn't hear anything.
That's horrible. That is a horrible joke. I hate it.
You see a mime. That is a lesson from talking to Mickey.
There we go.
Salt.
Then we go to the Neptune Inn, and I'm wondering why even Max would want to be in a waterbed with his dad. And then Pete is there, and I'm going, why is Pete there? Pete's not going on the same fishing trip.
I didn't understand this.
Well, it was because Pete needs to spill the beans, doesn't he? That's the only reason why he's there.
I understand why he's there for movie logic, but yeah.
No. Well, apparently he's there because he needs to plug in his thing, but how does he know it's Goofy's room?
How does he know they're there? They're taking different turnings on the map.
He just knocks off. Yeah, exactly. He's going nowhere near where he's supposed to be going. I have no idea. Pete overhears Max bragging about changing the map. And then he goes into the hot tub. And when he gets in, a whole bunch of water spills out because, of course, Pete's fat. And he goes, oh, they always put too much water in these things, which I thought was quite good. And then he spills the beans about L.A. and says about Max, he's just a bad kid. That's all. He says, don't take my word for it. Check the map. And Goofy says, I trust my son. And then goes into the car where he's thinking about opening it. And then he hits open the wheel. And when he punches the wheel, the glove box comes out. Really poor quality vehicle. And the map unfurls perfectly. But the question is, the minute you look at it, it's not like, oh, I got away with it because I didn't technically open the glove box myself. It's, oh, fate wants me to look at the map. So he looks at the map.
Yeah, he still looked at the map.
Yeah. And so Goofy comes in all sad, and they say goodbye to Pete Jr., and Pete Jr. is whispering that loud whisper, don't forget Max Powerline.
Thank you, Yakko Warner from Animaniacs.
If I may, Powerline sounds more like a brand of car battery than it does a rock star.
Mm. It just kept reminding me of Powerade.
Yeah. And so I have to ask, here's my question. I have to ask, because what is Goofy's point of going for this trip? What is his motivation?
Bonding.
To bond with his kid, right?
Yeah.
We just had a montage of them bonding. So whether they're driving to LA or not, you've accomplished the mission. The mission was never to go fishing. The mission was to bond with your kid. But you're having these genuine moments at this point. So if you're Goofy, why marry yourself to it? Unless you feel he's literally just faking the whole thing. But that doesn't make any sense. He was pouting, and now you guys are doing stuff together. You're making memories. You're taking pictures. You're doing stuff he wants to do. You're doing stuff you want to do. What is wrong with all this?
And what's wrong with just going to the concert?
My kid wants to go to the concert. It's not that far from fishing. You know what a summer is?
We could
long.
Do both.
We could do both. There's no rule that says, oh, you want to go fishing? Yes. Have you been to any Powerline concerts lately? Yes. You cannot go fishing.
You may only go fishing between the hours of 7 and 10 on this specific date.
And it basically get down to a game of relationship check-in where there's a junction in the road or a T in the road. And he has to choose one of the two options, left or right. And the left takes him to LA and the right takes him fishing. And like they both know, the other one knows, I guess, is kind of the game here.
Yeah.
And so eventually he goes and Max makes the selfish call and goes to the Powerline concert. And then he instantly tries to compensate for this, which you can always tell if someone does something that makes you like, I was thinking we could do that thing you really like to do. Let's listen. How about a song? And then how about a game, Dad? And it's the only time in the whole movie that Goofy is quiet, and it's my favorite part of the film. I'm probably supposed to feel that they're having a hard time as a family, but I'm like, this is great.
I literally had a 2-second thought when, hey, you know how you can make this actually have stakes? Fishing contest on this specific day, the same day as the Powerline concert.
You know what? Better movie.
Yeah. And then you can have that fun thing where they're doing both at the same time. He's doing the Powerline concert and they bring the fish in. Boom. Sold it. Whatever. Give me the money.
The film stopped being better. I don't understand this. But the idea of it, like it's a father-son fishing contest and you have to go there. And he purposely like jacks that in so that he can go to his power. And then there's actual like trauma. It could be a trophy that him and his dad won 20 years before. And this is why he wants to go and do it now. Mm. Better movie.
Give me a Quibi money, Katzenberg.
But there's no rule that you can't do both. And they're really close to each other. The map shows us this. And they're on the opposite sides. If you found out he'd been driving you the wrong way for 3 days straight, then you got a reason to be mad.
Yeah, it's stupid.
He said you can make all the stops you want. Can't the Powerline concert be a stop?
A stop.
Like, this is a map where they do, like, giant swirls around the map. Like, you can take the scenic route. It's what they're doing.
There's no like one's in New York and the other one's in like California.
It's like LA and like slightly more Northern California. And so Goofy pulls over the car and accuses Max of thinking he's stupid. And I'm like, hey, I don't think he's ever tried to say you're stupid. That was one where I'm like, no, that's too far.
He's
incredibly selfish, but he doesn't think his dad's stupid.
No.
And to be,
he thinks he's stupid enough to not notice that he changed the map.
I guess. And, or maybe the fact that I don't know you've been taking us in the, well, slightly right direction all this time.
I hate it so much.
Max leans against the car and the car starts moving. And the car wasn't put in park or the e-brake put on, but Goofy blames Max, and I hate everybody in this movie. And Goofy turns toxic. You locked the door. And he goes, no, my door's unlocked. Dad, you locked your door. Well, you distracted me. I'm like, this is like every bad argument you have with a parent ever. You ruin
it's so bad.
You ruin,
he's gaslighting Max.
Oh, it is. You ruin everything.
Back to Mary Poppins.
Max tells his dad, you ruined everything, or you ruin everything. Goofy says, you ruined my vacation. Again, I'm going to ask, what's the point of the vacation? It wasn't ever to go fishing.
Oh, so he said, my vacation, not yes, our vacation.
Exactly. And then Max says, I never wanted to go on this stupid vacation, to which point I shouted back at the TV, I never wanted to watch this stupid movie. And now the car is in the f***ing water.
No. First, it bounces along pillars of stone without any road.
And the pillars of stone fall apart, and the car survives. So yeah. I'm like, this is again like Disney bingo tick, car being used as a boat. And now they're not like, how do we get out of this? So it's like, no, keep the fight going. So they have time for a big argument as the car is being acted like a boat. And then somehow they have like, Goofy goes, no matter how big you get, you'll always be my son. And they have the song Nobody Else But You. And they rhyme the word trophy with catastrophe during this. This film was not a trophy. This film was a catastrophe. And they also go down a sinkhole and then pop up and respawn like 8 feet to the left. And they're still on the car and they have a heart to heart. Years from now,
and also this song was shit.
It was not good. Years from now, Pixar would steal this move for Onward. So, and he goes, you're in love. The only thing we can do is get you on stage with this Powerline feller. And it's one of those things, as this is going on, you can start to hear the waterfall before the characters see it. Before we get to see it, you can hear it's coming. So I'm like, if you've got your bingo cards out, tick. Then Goofy gets to safety, but not Max. So Goofy's trying to cast the fishing rod, and it doesn't work. And then he can actually hold a whole car on this fishing rod. And it's bending a bit, but it's okay because it's the family rod. And, a 40-year-old fishing rod or whatever it is that's probably made of wood would be able to withhold this sort of pressure, even with cartoon logic.
Family can be as strong as anything when it comes to love.
And then the position.
I do not like the term family rod.
And then the positions are flipped and Goofy is falling and Max has to save him. And the car's fallen. The car is gone.
Why is Max on a parachute?
Because it was the canvas that held all the luggage together is now acting as a parachute.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
We don't know how it's attached to Max.
No.
It's just attached to Max.
It just gets wound up somehow. And then he has to do the perfect cast, and the perfect cast saves Goofy. And then
perfect cast that we've seen Goofy do once, yes, and Max never even pay attention to.
And the map just happens to hit Goofy in the face. And as it flies away, did anybody else notice how there was no pencil marks on the map?
Mm-hmm.
The route had been erased, just like all their pain.
Oh my goodness.
And then we go to the concert, and I've gotten my notes. How did they get to LA? How did they get instruments? Or at least instrument cases?
How did they get inside them?
How did they close it on themselves?
To get thrown into the... I hate it.
Max thinks it's a bad idea, and then some women who are like scantily clad walk by him, and he checks out their backsides. He's like, hang on, this is a good idea. And I'm like...
What about Roxanne?
She didn't
what
have
about children's movie?
She didn't have to turn on that red dress tonight, you know what I mean?
This film is so overly sexualized.
to make a Roxanne joke this entire time.
Yep. Yep, I have. Max, Goofy walks, and then, it's not for Max, Goofy then gets to walk in on a woman changing. Why? Because. And he's chased away by Max is chased away by security. And this security guard is like, I'm getting him. I will climb up in the lighting rigging during a live concert and get this. If we have to kill him, we will get him.
It's the Terry of security guards.
And so...
catch Terry in last week's episode, Soul.
Soul. Talking to Mickey on Podcasters Everywhere. And so at this point, I realized Powerline is Prince. I mean, you can say he's Michael Jackson. It most heavily is borrowed by Prince, I think.
I think last episode I even said, like, the 90s Prince guy.
Yeah. And so back in town, everybody, we have a shot of everybody watching the concert. And everybody's really upset because we haven't seen Max and Sherry or whatever her name is. Terry, what's the girl? Stacy? Stacy's like, oh, I'm sure he'll make it there because we're like, 30 seconds into the first song. So there's a lot of concert to go.
Well, so he'd only promised that he'd be there in the finale. So what are they waiting yet?
And so, Stacy and Bobby have a meet cute where they both go reaching for something and their hands touch. And I'm like, all right. And then they get on stage and they all start dancing one at a time. At first it's Goofy who's on stage and Max is like, do the perfect cast, and it ends up being the perfect dance moves for like the situation, and then Max joins them and they all dance in unison and everyone's like, wow, he really did what he said he would. And that was the concert. It was one song long. So if you bought that,
Caroline's just like, yeah, I'm gonna dance with these two random people that have appeared on my stage.
Yeah, don't get security to rush them off. No, have your moment. That's what the stage is for.
Not even a confused look. Like, yeah, let's dance.
Let's do this.
Boogie on, guys.
You know what would have been cool?
Seeing eye to eye.
What would have been cool is if actually he did know Goofy.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Oh, yeah.
If it was this moment where he went, I know you had a kid, and you find out he's like, oh, gosh, it's Wayne. he knows him as Wayne. He's unaware that his friend's the biggest rock star in the world. That would be a good story.
That's very.
That would make more sense.
It would explain why he doesn't rush him off the stage.
Yeah.
So and then we get home, and the car pulls into the driveway, and I'm going, whoa, whoa, whoa! The car survived the fall over the waterfall,
and they found it.
Like, and they found it. It's not broken. Well. It's got like some algae stains in it, and it's puttering a bit. But that's all the cars are.
In the seats, yeah. And I think the roof is missing.
No, the door's missing. Definitely on Max's side, the door's missing.
It does explode. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but once they're home.
And so he's going to her house, and her dad is now doing the female towel thing, and at this point Max comes clean, and I don't know why Max comes clean at this point.
I don't know.
I guess everybody learned something, but just have him. Yeah. He tells Roxanne, I just wanted you to like me. And I'm like, I wish Max wanted me to like him because he's just been an insufferable little bastard for 72 minutes. That felt like years. She wants to do something with him that night. And he goes, no, I can't. I promised I'd do something with my dad. I'm like, you have just spent weeks together. Weeks.
Yeah, right.
Weeks
what?
Together. There is no reason for this.
I got to put up the family road with my dad.
Oh, Ethan.
Stop talking about the family road.
And this is a really awkward part to segue because they kiss. And here's my question. Like, did it only take one day to get back? Because it's how it plays it. It was like the next day they get home. Like, why couldn't you have like a montage?
3 weeks to get there.
You should have had a montage of them doing some fishing first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't like fishing montages, so.
That is true, yeah.
Well, no, but at least this is what we were supposed to be getting. It's the purpose of, if Goofy's didn't get all hurt about it, at least go do your fishing. Like, that's my issue. Like, Max is able to give him both. He can do the Powerline concert and go fishing. If you want to show me that he learned his lesson, have him phone her instead of doing the thing and go, yeah, sorry, I'm going to be there. I'll see you in a couple days. There's something I got to do first. And he puts down the phone and he runs off into a boat and him and his dad are going to go fishing on the water with the family rod.
That'd be a good ending.
It would be a good ending.
Goofy can do some like weird, stupid, Goofy thing where he falls in, and that's how it ends.
It turns out she loves Max's laugh, the yuck, yuck, at which point, like, this is going to be awkward when you meet Dad.
I hate you can experience so
family rod.
And that is, and I'm using this term very loosely, our film. So that is that. I mean, Ethan, do you have any financials?
I do. I couldn't find the budget at all.
Oh, okay.
But I do know that the film made $35.8 million in the US alone after its run. I know it got, I think, 6.9 on IMDb, and it is at a whopping 58%. Oh,
I have an estimated, was that box office or budget? No, I have an estimated budget.
Ooh.
18.
Oh, shit.
So I made what, 30 something?
30. I think it's 35.8.
It probably makes a little bit of money, which is why they do the sequel in a few years.
Yeah.
It can't make that much. Oh, was it really? Okay.
Yeah.
It can't make that much because, you know, it's only about double what its budget was, which is pretty much your break even mark usually. So that is that. So I'm assuming that it didn't win any awards. So should we talk about the role of women in this film?
Yeah, sure. Let's.
What role of women?
It won't take us long. She is a prize to be won. And if you don't give them exactly what they want, they will dump you for somebody else because they are cold and heartless.
Yeah, pretty much.
And get catcalled, apparently.
Yep.
You're either the pretty girl or you're the nerdy girl with braces who is like school president or whatever.
Yeah. Ellie, something you want to say?
I was just going to say a little shout out to Stacey because at least she has like a position of authority within the school community. But
she's not really respected, though, is she? They catcall her, and then her job is she throws the party that you can come to because she's from the rich family, yeah. Probably.
She's trying to buy her friends.
We're going
to
watch Powerland on pay-per-view. So, yeah, that's really the entirety of the women in this film.
Yep.
Yep.
Unless you include the feminized men.
Or the small girl who runs away with no nappy on.
Or the girls who are very provocatively dressed, who are like hitting on Max when he's like in his Powerline costume at the start.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much over-sexualization of the teenage girls in this film. It's so uncomfortable and weird and ridiculous. Like, they've all got, like, really short skirts and cleavages showing, and there's that ridiculous slit up the dress at the start, and, like, just kind of, like, even, like, the way the hair falls is all, like, kind of glamorized, and it's just weird.
And it's weird that she's in, like, this, like, super slit dress, but then she's also in white.
Yeah.
They're all like...
It's weird.
It's like Jessica Rabbit animations.
Yeah, but at least Jessica Rabbit was supposed to be an adult.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what I mean when I'm like, ugh, about that part now.
All right, so now it's time for our segment called Pause for the Parks. That's a Pause for the Parks, where we take a couple seconds out of our film review and we talk about how the specifics of this film have been integrated into the Disney park properties. And this segment is, as always, brought to us by a friend of the podcast, Andrew Oshevsky. And I'm going to present it this week. So here's what Andrew has to say. In his eyes, a Goofy movie is, and I'm not making this up, a classic Disney movie that expanded upon the character of Goofy and his son Max in the same way that Goof Troop did a few years before. And he's going to cover in his write-up here both the film and the character of Goofy and how those are situated within the parks. Other than the meetups in most parks, he's usually in that refrain wearing his orange shirt in green hat. When I met Goofy, that was how he was portrayed. That was in Anaheim, California. So there you go. I can chip in my part for Pause for the Parks for once. And so he has a house in Toontown in Disneyland. I think that's where I saw him. And Goofy's Fly School, a wild mouse-style coaster based on Goofy's how-to shorts in Disney California's Adventure. He has a kiddie coaster in Disney World in Storybook Circus, where Goofy is the great Goofini. And we ride the Barnstormer. And finally, in Tokyo Disneyland, there's Goofy's Paint and Play House, where guests get to use paint cannons to redecorate several different rooms in Goofy's home. Now, for Goofy movie stuff, other than merchandise that is slowly upgraded over the years, at the Fan Days event at Disneyland Paris in 2018, there was a stage show entitled Max Live, Getting Goofy With It, where Max and a few other characters perform songs from Disney canon and a Goofy movie. Finally, at the Disneyland After Dark 90s night, there was a special Disney Afternoon Fireworks show in which One to One was the closing song. Andrew would also recommend looking at the video of it because it's awesome. And I'd say, as always, as most of the time, Andrew says thanks again and have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. And of course, we want to thank Andrew for his contribution to the podcast, as always. And now it's just time to make note that
we're in the end game now.
And we are in the end game now. So, favorite character? Everybody, favorite character? I use the term favorite and character, both very, very loosely. Let's go around in the usual order, shall we?
So I have said my favorite character is PJ because he's the only character in the whole film that didn't annoy me.
Okay.
I'm going PJ as well, but mainly because he's voiced by the guy who voices Carl in Jimmy Neutron and Yakko in The Animaniacs, so it just felt like that.
Okay. Georgia.
I could genuinely not think of a character I liked until Ellie said Peach, and then I was like, yeah, no, I didn't hate him, so he can win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was tempted to say Max, just to see everyone's reactions.
I will go with Pete Senior.
Oh, he's good.
He's good. I mean, as far as he is what he is, and we know what he is, and he's a jerk. It doesn't mean you can't like the jerk. I like the jerk. He's a good representation of what that character is. He talks as though he's an expert, even though he's not, but that's who that character is. And I thought the voice actor is fantastic. And I think he was, I mean, the story makes no sense from the pop-up when he does, but he does what he should do. He is the Biff Tannen to Goofy's George McFly, and that's what his role is. Yep. So, you know, in that case, Max becomes Marty. I think it holds up, actually, the metaphor. I think it holds up. It's like the world's worst reimagining of Back to the Future is what we have here.
We don't need roads. We've got weird pillars that you can drive across.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. We got a waterfall. So, favorite moment. This is going to be a very, or element, favorite moment, or I will say this, I didn't mind the animation. I'll start with that part and say, I found the animation style to be fine. I really quite enjoyed it. It was reminiscent of the 90s and it felt different from a Disney animated classic. And I mean that in a good way. Every now and then difference is all right. So I was okay with that, but we'll go ahead. You can do favorite scene, favorite moment, whatever you want to do. Ellie.
I literally could not think of one. There was not a single moment of this film that I felt was above the level of the rest of it or that was good in any way. I didn't like the music. I didn't like the characters. I didn't like any of the scenes. I was quite happy when it finished. Let's go with that. The end credits.
All right. Ethan.
I'm going to say the opposite of Ellie. I really like the music. I think it might be nostalgia, but I really like all the Powerline songs. I think they're pretty catchy. And for like what's supposed to be, I guess, like faux Prince songs, I think they hold up pretty well in like tunability. I think Eye to Eye is a really good song. That's the only positive I'm thinking of. You guys have destroyed this film for me, but like actually thinking about it.
You are welcome.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for. Destroying people's favorite films.
With the family rod.
Georgia.
I'm going to go mostly with Ethan. I didn't mind the Powerline songs. I thought some of those were quite nice. And I didn't hate the animation style. It wasn't one that was making me go, oh, that's not nice. Other than that, there really isn't much to redeem this film. I didn't mind the music, and I quite enjoyed that they poke fun at some other Disney attractions. That's probably where my highest accolade goes to. So they took the mick out of took the Mickey out of
Disneyland.
Disneyland, yeah. Yep.
That little known place. The most meh place on earth. I'm going to go with this, and I'm going to say something maybe a little bit controversial. I didn't mind the script.
Really?
The script was okay. The story's terrible. The script I didn't mind. The writing was good. The writing was even clever at points. Lots of little witty one-liners. I think there's some poor bastard who got told, here's the script you're writing. And they went, all right. And they did all right with it. By saying, we need this scene, and this scene, make it into a script. The script's fine. So I'll say that I didn't mind that really whatsoever. At which point, I was going to do favorite song, but I think half of you just already named your favorite songs. Ellie said there isn't one. I think the two of you said the Powerline songs.
I did actually find a favourite song. It was on the Open Road.
Oh, on the Open Road?
But I didn't like it. I just thought it was
not as bad as the others.
Yeah.
I think it's called After Today is the one I liked.
Oh, the opening one.
The one he's singing on the way to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That was all right. That was all right.
It's like a, what is it? The High School Musical opening song. What time is it? Summertime before High School Musical.
Before number two.
Vacation.
Celebration.
Why have we not done any of them yet?
So this is going to be difficult potentially. My little grumble. Pick your main. Take your best shot, Ellie.
So there was, apart from the general film being absolutely shocking, there was one thing that really pissed me off. Well, two things. One I've already talked about was the over-sexualization, so I won't talk about that again. Cars cannot fucking float.
It really annoyed me. I'll buy into a universe where they're sentient and have societies built by themselves, but how dare they? Yeah, how dare they swim?
I can suspend my disbelief for I can suspend disbelief for, you know, the fact that they are like a world of talking dogs or whatever. But if they're still
Goofy, okay.
Not the cars.
No.
I thought you were referring cars. I'm like, whoa, they're talking people, aren't they?
The dogs in this. The idea that they are using human objects and they are kind of basically humans, but they are dogs, like, fine. I can suspend disbelief enough to accept that's the logic of the film. But when those human objects then start doing things that they cannot do, like floating cars, no, not acceptable.
Or cheese in a can. Ethan.
That was a strange sound that came out of my mouth. I think it's just, it hasn't aged well. I like...
Which has not.
I got a feeling it wasn't that good to start with, Ethan, if I'm being honest.
This is the thing.
So I had 2006 and you went, oh, you know what? Goofy movies, it's stepping on some sketchy ground. It just wasn't a good movie.
It's slipping.
I think it's coming back and see it. It's been a while since I've watched this.
There you go.
And I think seeing it without rose-tinted glass and being like, okay, there's this. I still enjoy it, and I'll probably have it on just because I can like things that aren't great.
Yes.
Like, yeah, but it's definitely...
People like us.
It's just not in the higher echelons of quality as much anymore, which is a shame, I think.
It's like the six chair challenge and Souls just knocked it out of one of the spots.
No, I really like the Goof Troop, so I think it's part of that. I know that show pretty well, so it's part of that.
I remember these characters, and I remember not liking it when they were characters and then still not liking it when it was a movie, but such is.
I think it's definitely just that sort of notoriety I have with it in my brain from my childhood.
Sure.
But yeah, it's definitely not as good as I remember. That's my issue.
Especially when a TV show that you know turns into a movie. It feels like, wow.
Yeah.
I know this. So, Georgia, what do you know?
I do not like Goofy. Straight up. Don't like Goofy as a character. Don't like his voice. Don't like his stupid... It just grates. Just, you know, like... cringy and bad cringy. It just, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I hate Goofy.
Have they misnamed this film? Should this be a Max
a very
movie?
Shitty movie?
A Max movie?
A Max movie.
It's not, definitely marketing it's not, on the fact that it's...
Goofy can be a name and an adjective, but it's not Goofy's movie, is it?
No.
Who's? I don't even think it's Max's movie. It's
totally
like,
Max's movie. We open the movie in his dream sequence. We finish the film with him achieving what he wanted to get in that dream sequence.
I guess, but it's that thing that we don't actually like Max, so we're just ignoring his existence at that point.
A Pete Jr. movie.
Oh, I'd love that.
PJ.
My part was, this is just late. I love the script. I love the script. That's a bit strong. I liked the script. I hated the story. It was the most, I was fine with the halfway point. And then they went, we need to pad the runtime with artificial, because how many arguments can they have? So we got to create external features that are going to cause more problems. So we had Bigfoot, and we had, you know, the car runs away from them, and we had it goes in the water, and then we have a waterfall, and then we have a little bit of a cape. Like, they could have spent an extra 5 minutes at the concert, actually, and shaved some of it off of the boat, the car swimming sequence.
Yeah.
This would have worked a lot better as originally intended as a TV special.
Yeah.
Split this into four episodes. Bish, boom. You've got your finale. You've got your end of your, of your cartoon.
There you
go. That's your event TV thing for like a day.
All right. Any reviews, Georgia, on this?
Not that I could find particularly. I don't think anyone is really professionally reviewing the Goofy movie.
Well, what's the actually released?
Let me have another check. I might have not looked in the right place.
I want to see Ebert's review of this. Be like 4 stars.
Yeah, it's got a Rotten Tomatoes page.
Oh yeah, hang on, sorry. What have I got here? Nell Minow from Common Sense Media gives it 4 out of 5. With free of the pressures that sometimes smother the big Disney release, this movie has a refreshingly casual feel with some sly humor, even daring to poke fun at Disney itself. Which, yes, it does, but it doesn't mean the movie's good.
Okay.
I would argue. Bob McCabe from Empire at 3 out of 5. Harmless enough day in the sun for Goofy. Pity that there's an overwhelming feeling throughout that he deserves better. Oh, poor Goofy. Feel sorry for him now.
Indeed.
I'm going to have a quick look, see if there is a Roger Ebert one. I doubt there is.
There is an Ebes one.
There is.
I'm
looking
at it, yeah. He gives it 3 stars.
Go ahead and give it.
He gives it three stars out of four. And goes about two-thirds of the way through a screening of a Goofy movie. Last Saturday morning, something goofy happened. The movie was suddenly upside down. Oh, that's just him saying about his actual deal of it. I'm looking for the overall.
Yeah, it's the movie stopped while he was watching it. He says, but now I'm faced with a deadline and a review to write.
He says 3 stars. The movie's not really about Goofy, but his teenage son, Max. He had to write the review unfinished, but says, since writing the above, I had the opportunity to see the rest of a Goofy movie. He goes through some of the issues and says 3 stars is still about right. I would disagree with Roger Ebert. I think he was grading this on a pretty generous curve.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's grading it on probably the first part of the film before it starts
before it gets stupid. And then he has to justify the grade he's given it.
Yeah.
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 So that is it. So all that's left for us to do is give our ratings. Where do you put this? Now, it's not in the rankings. You don't have to do that. But just a little score out of 10 or whatever will do quite nicely. So let's start with Ellie.
Hated it. I'm going to give it 2 ridiculous possum hats out of 10.
Ethan.
I am giving it 6 cheddars out of 10.
Ow.
Indeed. Georgia.
I am giving it 4 fucking hyuk out of 10.
I'm giving it 3.5 unbreakable cars out of 10. And that's it. So Ethan, congratulations. I think I don't want to do any predictions, but you may, if it goes the way I think it might go, you may have chosen our worst film of the year in successive years.
Oh, I've
and
got
considering
some,
we're
I've
in
got
the second plans. Week of January.
Yes, I think we've established a front runner for many of the walkies for next year. We will see. So there we go. That's what Ethan brings to the table.
I opened a whole new bowl of Gatorade just for that.
Just for that. But it is fun to sort of slam on a movie occasionally.
We're going to get to them at some point.
This was the long... Well, not this one. We don't have to do this one. We didn't have to do this one. This one's completely on you.
I mean, when we need content, we would have...
Disney's putting out 1,000 new Star Wars shows. We're okay. So,
oh, yeah. I'll torment you guys with those as
there
well.
There we go. That's fine. So, yeah, we've got this. I mean, so all that's left to do is to talk about what we're doing next week. And it's my pick next week, which is yay. So, my pick... I kind of looked around and went, how did we only get through 2 Marvel films in 2020? So I'm going back to the Marvel well. So the next Marvel film is, Ethan, do you know what the next one in line is?
It's Iron Man 2, right?
It's Iron Man 2. We are going back.
I shit you not. I've been watching it today. I'm going through an MCU binge currently before WandaVision starts Friday. So I was like, yeah, I'll go through them. I just finished Iron Man.
Yeah, so Iron Man 2 is going to be, and I think Iron Man 2 gets a bad rap. I think Iron Man 2 is a plenty enjoyable enough film.
It's a film. I have fun.
I guess an above average film.
It's a phase one film. I think that's the best way to describe it.
No, I'm okay. Iron Man 2 gets a bad rub because so many of the twos were so bad. So, you know, Thor 2 is terrible. Captain America 2 is very good. But generally, it's kind of like that Avengers 2 is terrible. So we kind of remember Iron Man, and then we remember him in the Avengers films, and we forget, like, Iron Man 2 is decent. So that is where we will go. We have Robert Downey Jr. and, oh, what's his name? Mickey Rourke. Ooh.
Oh, and everyone's favorite, Sam
Rockwell.
Yeah,
Sam Rockwell. So it's a good cast. It's a lot of fun, and Jon Favreau decides to go, you know what? That little part I had in the first one, how about we up that by about triple the amount? That's what I'm going to be in the second one. So fair play. So I'm looking forward next week to tackling Iron Man Deuces. So please join us next time when we rejoin Tony Stark on his journey through the streets of Paris in Iron Man 2. For Talking the Mickey, I've been Ian.
I've been Ellie.
I've been Ethan.
And I've been George.
And if there's one thing about Goofy that I can relate to, it's that I, too, have the perfect cast. I'll see you next time. I told you I had a f***ing good one.
Oh, he's frozen.
Oh, am I? Hello?
No, Ellie's frozen.
Ellie's frozen. Ellie's frozen, yeah. Are you back?
That was the weirdest experience. I just had Ethan laughing in slow motion at me. So it was like...
Watching this movie felt like Ethan was laughing at me in slow motion, so...
Yeah, true.
It's like he's like on some Discord server telling people, I've made them watch The Wild, and now I'm making them watch a Goofy movie.
No joke, I have a list on my phone of every possible awful film.
Oh, jeez.
So, you guys, 2021 is going to get so much worse.
And that's why we want you to encourage people to listen to Talking the Mickey. Ethan with our own little advert there. 2021 is going to be such a bad year for the podcast. Ethan, are you eating pretzels during the recording?
I got some little popcorns that I was having.
Oh, that's good, because a crunchy snack is great for an audio interface.
I realized, but I was like, they're soft if I just like keep it in my mouth for a bit.
I called out Liam once on the other one for eating.
Why would you want to eat soft popcorn?
Yeah, I don't get it. Plus, the bag is the thing that really gives it away. So if you heard some crunchy.
That's a bag of big American marshmallows I had like a week ago.
There we go. Yeah.
My desk is a mess.
I think we're all imagining it. Are you done chewing your f***ing crunch mouth?
Crunch mouth.
He's still chewing. I can hear him.
I stopped chewing.
Go ahead. Just chew and swallow and drink your drink and all that stuff.